one of the key things that is necessary for success in all aspects of our lives, right? We have to be emotionally intelligent. I got a group of friends and we always have these conversations about like working in the corporate world and then working for yourself or as an entrepreneur and the differences between the two. Statistics say that 71% of employers value emotional intelligence more than technical skills when evaluating candidates. Other statistics say that emotional intelligence is the strongest predictor of performance. Because there is a game that has to be played, especially in corporate America, especially with black individuals or other ethnicities, kind of trying to climb the corporate ladder, so to speak. You know, you have to do things a certain way. You got to respond a certain way, react a certain way, even talk a certain way sometimes. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the new episode of the Miles High Podcast. This is Miles Monroe Jr., your host. And as always, the vision for this podcast is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. All right? So I want to have a very intellectual conversation today. I got a group of friends, and we always have these conversations about like working in the corporate world and then working for yourself or as an entrepreneur and the differences between the two, right? I have a friend who has excelled tremendously in corporate America, started from an entry level position, and he is he's an officer in the company now, doing super well. I have another friend who has pretty much gone along the same professional journey, getting up to officer level in his organization. And then I have another friend who is doing just as well, but he is more of an entrepreneur, thinks like an entrepreneur, and doesn't play what we call the game. Right, correctly. Oh, I wouldn't say correctly, just doesn't play it the way my other two friends would play it. So we have this conversation all the time, and you know, I reflect, or I live vicariously through them a whole lot of times when it comes to working in corporate America, right? Because you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been kind of working for myself for quite some time, so I've grown accustomed to being my own visionary, being the think tank, or you know, with my other counterparts, just being the think tank to where the company goes, how the company grows, how we expand, new business that we get into, and all of those things, right? But with corporate America, it's more of a structured organization, a structured model where you know you're kind of plugged into and you kind of excel and evolve in the various positions that you're able to attain. And for me, it's always funny to me, because I always think like, man, how would I have done in corporate America, right? Because you know, I don't think I could be a very hard-headed, stubborn person, mm-hmm. at times. My wife is a grin. You ain't gotta put me on blast, babe. But I don't know if I try to hope at least that if I, you know, were in the positions that my friends were in, I would be able to adjust, right? And to be able to quote unquote play the game, because there is a game that has to be played, especially in corporate America, especially with black individuals or other ethnicities, kind of trying to climb the corporate ladder, so to speak. You have to do things a certain way. You got to respond a certain way, react a certain way, even talk a certain way sometimes. And all of that has grown to be a fairly frequent conversation between my friends and I. And you know, I had a conversation about it recently, and it was something that I was thinking about, and I started to realize that it shouldn't matter, right, whether you're in corporate America or whether you're an entrepreneur or you work, you know, in a small organization. The character or the makeup of you as an individual and how you relate to others, how you manage others, how you lead others, it should work the same. And I started to think, man, if I were in corporate America, I would hope that I would be able to adjust to that playing field, right? The things that I needed to do, how I needed to perform, the areas that I needed to help out in, you know, and just kind of be able to speak the language. And it had me thinking about one of the key things that is necessary for success in all aspects of our lives, right? We have to be emotionally intelligent. And that's kind of where the foundation of our conversation, my friends and I conversation, come from, right? And I want to read some stats when it comes to emotional intelligence. Statistics say that 71% of employers value emotional intelligence more than technical skills when evaluating candidates. Other statistics say that emotional intelligence is the strongest predictor of performance. So I think that this shows the importance of or the priority that needs to be placed on what we term emotional intelligence, right? And I want to define exactly what emotional intelligence is. It's the ability to recognize, understand, manage, and effectively express your emotions, as well as to engage and navigate successfully with the other emotions around. So it's ability to understand and identify your emotions from an introspective standpoint, you know, be able to manage that, effectively express those emotions, and then be able to recognize and manage those emotions of the individuals around us, right? That's what emotional intelligence entails.
Question. So you're saying to be successful, you have to be able to have emotional intelligence. Or is this just for people who are striving to be a certain level at their job?
Yeah, I think it comes with a certain level, but I think it happens at all levels. But I'm not saying that it's the only thing, right? I'm not saying that being emotionally intelligent is the only thing that you need to be successful in these areas. But it's one of the major things that assists, especially those in leadership positions. You disagree?
I think I kind of disagree, because I think, I want to say this has just popped up in the last couple of years, right?
The term has been coined since, like, I think 2009, 2010. But it's something that has always existed, but we just kind of put a definition to it.
Because I feel like there are certain industries where you ain't got to be emotionally intelligent to do your job and do it well.
You have to be emotionally intelligent to work with people, though.
Yes. So it's just different specific industries.
I mean, I think we all work with people, though, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of me as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. as someone who is self-employed, I work with individuals all the time. Someone who works in a corporate organization or in a corporate structure, like, you have team members, you have people you have to report to, you have C-suite members. So all of these people, like, you still have to work along with other individuals.
I want to push back on that, because mm-hmm. I know each of us, we could highlight an individual that we've worked with where we'd be like, wait, but he does great work. Like, just leave him in the corner, let him do his work, and he's the best performing worker out here. Right or wrong, people? So I'm saying, like, there are aspects of people who I feel like don't fit the emotionally intelligent category, but they are the best workers. Like, some people just don't want to be bothered, in a sense, or, like, not even can't be bothered, but their personality or their thing is, like, I just want to work in a silo. I'm going to give you the best of me. I'm going to be productive and all of that. But that emotional intelligence thing, don't try make me be no outstanding I gotta talk to people and all of that.
I don't. That's not emotional intelligence.
So, but you're defining it as tapping into your emotions and being able to work with other people.
No. Okay. Let me read the definition again. So, emotional intelligence is the ability to recognize, understand, mm-hmm. manage, and effectively express your emotions. Right. So you're able to know your emotions, mm-hmm. understand, recognize, and be able to effectively express those emotions.
Well, I still think my point stands because there are people on jobs that are like, don't bother with me. I could just do my job, do it the best of my ability. The company is going to benefit, but
that's someone who understands their emotions.
We understand them and we just don't bother with them.
So but there are different levels to it. And I'm speaking more so from a leadership standpoint, mm-hmm. right? So someone who is in a leadership position and what is required of leaders to.
So that's why my first question was like, who are we talking about? This conversation is for people in leadership or like everyone from the bottom up?
So primarily, yes, people who are in leadership position or people who lead others.
Okay.
But I think emotional intelligence can apply to all aspects of our lives, right? Because we're all leading at some point, like mm-hmm. whether we lead a family, whether we lead friends, whether we lead loved ones, like we're all leading at some level of our lives, right? And sure, the overall or the main conversation that we're having has to do with business or in the corporate world, but I think it could apply to your personal life, like I said, like because we all lead. And one of the characteristics of a good leader is someone who is emotionally intelligent, right? And again, the counter to that is you don't only manage, identify, and express your emotions effectively, but you're able to do the same for individuals around you as well. You recognize the emotions that they express, mm-hmm. and you're able to successfully communicate, respond, impact, influence them in a positive way.
Okay.
Right. But good, you know, continue this conversation. So, because I think, like, what, why it matters? Why does emotional intelligence matters? Right. It allows us to be better communicators. Right. It allows us to have effective decision making. Right. We're able to make decisions more effectively when we're thinking or moving more intelligently with our emotions. We build stronger relationships. I think that's important because someone who is able to gain the respect and confidence of others, usually those relationships are able to build because people can trust you more. And then you are able to have conflict resolutions, right? Because you're thinking a lot more rationally, right? You're not just going off the whim and making rash decisions. Like, you're in control of your reactions, your responses, and all of these things, right? There are a few key components when it comes to being emotionally intelligent. Now, I had this conversation also with my friends, and, you know, I think the consensus is that maybe not all of these components need to be as equally mastered, but we need to have some level of understanding and maybe even some level of control when it comes to each of these components, right? And the main components are self-awareness, self-governance, social awareness, and social skills. So self-awareness is basically understanding yourself, understanding you as an individual, your emotions, your strengths, your weaknesses, the things that trigger you. Like, it's being fully aware of oneself. And the good thing about self-awareness is being self-aware applies to every aspect of our life. I think that's the first step that we should take in everything that we do. We need to be aware of who we are. What can I do? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are the things that trigger me? What are the things that set me off? What are the things that can actually get an emotional response out of me, right? I need to understand that who I am and how I tick or what ticks me, what allows me to tick. Self-governance then, when you have, you know, completed that self-awareness exercise, then you self-govern. You control your emotions, you control your impulses, you control your reactions, right? So you kind of police yourself and or try to police yourself in all aspects of your day-to-day life, whether it's in your personal life, your professional life. You're able to have a control and a governance of oneself. And then the next component is social awareness. And I kind of tack this on to empathy or being empathetic, right? So you have an understanding and you share the feelings and emotions of others, and then you have a compassion towards them. So you're being socially aware of what's going on around you, who is around you, what they're going through, how they react, how they respond, what could be the issue, how could you know, maybe resolve anything that's going on. And then social skills, or this one could be coined, tacked on to relationship management, right? And so you are able to master in some way social skills. And it's basically being able to communicate effectively with conflict resolutions. You're fostering relationship mending if there is an issue. You're fostering collaborations. You're fostering building teams, you know, a lot of teamwork. So it's just building social skills. So building the social environment of the individuals around you. And so these four components, and you know, I'll personalize this a bit. Like I wasn't as conscious as I needed to be, especially in the positions that I've been in over the years, right? Because I'm really, I could be a hardhead at times. And I've realized that in order for me to effectively lead or even gain the respect and trust of others, I have to be in control of my emotions, right? I would sometimes, like if an issue came up, like I realized, I recognized this when I did a lot of self-assessments, right? And as again, that's tacked on to self-awareness. You know, an issue may come up and, you know, if you're familiar with this, like mm-hmm. we would run into hiccups, you know, things that we couldn't expect to happen or, you know, predict would happen. And then sometimes like my initial reaction would just be to like snap, say something that I probably shouldn't say, go at a contract worker or an employee or someone who is doing work for me, but you know, just going off on them or saying something that maybe I shouldn't have said, and regretting it almost immediately. And I always know that I act off emotions, because usually like my emotional reactions are followed by a reflection and me always saying, man, I could have done that. I could have gone about that differently. I could have really allowed myself the time to really think and process like what's going on and come up with a better reaction. And that's what I have learned about myself, and I've implemented some things or some practices that I've been able to do to really advance or strengthen my emotional intelligence. And you know, I wanted to share some of those, the ways that we can develop our emotional intelligence or develop ourselves from an emotional standpoint, right? And how we respond to things. The first is self-reflection. Like, and I gave a clear example of that, right? Like sometimes we have to allow ourselves to go through that emotional process, right? The outbursts that we may have, the reactions that we may experience, and then reflect on those reactions. How, you know, was that reaction necessary? Could I have done that a little better? How can I, could I have done a better job of relaying whatever it is that I wanted to communicate in that moment? And then active listening, like not just being present, but actively being present. And this is something that I have worked on tremendously. To now it's almost like it's second nature to me, right? I'm always actively listening to those around me, always actively being aware. My wife is looking at me like, Chubb. You? So I don't actively listen?
Not to me.
I don't actively listen, babe.
Just be like, what'd you say? Say it again.
That's when you tell
You've
me.
You've gotten better, though.
That's when you tell me stuff that I may not
want to hear.
Yes.
But that's, you're not actively listening, goodness. Then.
All right. But actively listening. So always being present, being aware, being conscious of what is being said or what is not being said, what is being shown, what is not being shown, as far as like emotions and mannerisms from those around you. So always being an active listener. And then you have emotion regulation techniques. And this is something that I have really been working on and been intentional about, right? And one of my techniques, and this is something that doesn't work all the time, but I really try to implement this into everything that I do. I tell myself to give it 24 hours. Like, if you, like this, I feel like this is the main thing. So like, if you're in a situation and you, something comes up, something happens unexpected, it triggers you or it causes you to feel a way and you want to react, right? Your employee doesn't do something, your employee does something that they shouldn't have done. It causes you to lose money. It causes some absorbent expense that, you know, could have been avoided. And then, you know, either you could be blamed for it or the company is going to suffer a bit, or like whatever the case is. It could be with your kids. You know, your kid makes a poor decision and it instantly causes you to react in a negative way. Give yourself some time. Give yourself 24 hours and let's deal with it after 24 hours. And I've realized that when I compare my reactions in the moment versus my reactions 24 hours later, I'm always much more controlled. I communicate better when I give myself time to react. So that's one of the emotion regulation techniques that you can implement. Like just giving yourself time, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, like it's really not that serious all the time, right? Now, there are those moments where you have to make those on the spot decisions. And even in those moments, like it's still maybe even taking just 5 minutes or giving yourself some time to take a breath. And like, all right, let me process this. Let me think about this. And just using those kind of techniques to better your response, to better your reaction and your reaction time in different situations. And then it's feedback and coaching, right? You can't do it alone. I have had conversations with friends. My wife could tell you, like, if I react emotionally in a situation where it causes her and I to have a disagreement, like we would always come back and be like, okay, like how could we have done this? Or she would just come up and be like, you know, you could have reacted a bit differently. And I'd be like, you know what, you're right, I apologize, that's my bad. And you know, her the same way. Like it's because we're emotional individuals, right? We're all emotional creatures. We have emotions that sometimes we're not able to control. And the priority that we should be placing on ourselves is to always be in control of our emotions, always be in control of our reactions and our responses to things that happen in life, right? So in addition to feedback and coaching, then you get, you're continuously learning. You're continuously trying to better yourself, right? And that goes with investing in yourself. Whether it's going through therapy, whether it's, you know, identifying a mentor and, you know, sitting with that mentor on a consistent basis, whether it's going to seminars and events that can just allow you to gain an understanding of more information, better techniques, the different ways people are able to do things who are in your industry or are in the at the level of leadership that you are at. It's always good to invest in yourself and continue learning the ways that you can better yourself. For me, it's always been an amazing thing to watch my dad perform in the roles that he were placed in, right? He was a pastor, he was a business owner, he was a consultant, he was a mentor, he wore all of these hats. And it always amazed me, like, how he was able to be so much in control of himself when it came to like different situations, to the point where like I'm looking at him and be like, yo, you were crazy, because if that was me, like I would have gone off, right? And I like now I'm realizing, and you know, the more I mature, the more I learn, the more I gain a better understanding of myself, Like I realized the importance of always being in control, the importance of always having a handle on yourself, a handle on your emotions, a handle on your reactions, a handle on the things that trigger you, right? And being aware of them. And I think, like, again, that allows us or everyone who are in any type of leadership position, right? Whether you're leading a company, whether you're leading a staff, whether you're leading a family, it allows persons to gain a bigger respect for you, gain a lot more trust in you. So, you know, if you continue to work on yourself, continue to better yourself when it comes to being emotionally intelligent, there's only going to be an upside for you. For me, it's taking a lot of time, and you know, I initially was always you know, of the idea of, man, I wouldn't be able to make it in corporate America, because it's too structured, and you have to quote unquote always play the game. But I realized, like, playing the game is something that we do throughout our lives. There's always some type of control that we need to have in certain situations. We have to allow things to happen. And, you know, going back to my dad, right? He was the type of individual who was always open to, like, different individuals being around him. And sometimes, like, you know, me as his son or someone who, you know, was working along with him and, like, wholeheartedly had his best interests at heart, I would recognize, like, the different motives that some people would come around with. And you know, there were times where I would be questioning, like, man, does my dad recognize the intent that this individual has? And I remember one time we had this conversation about this individual who was a little sketchy, right? And I was like, you know, like, why do you still keep this person around? And he was like, you know, you have to understand that everyone serves a purpose, whether it's for me to learn something, for them to learn something, or for us to gain something out of this connection. Like, there's a purpose that is being served, and you have to be aware of what that is. And you know, so even when you recognize someone is, you know, doing something wrong or doesn't have the best intent, being able to manage that, being able to, even in the moment, like, still engage with them, interact with them, communicate with them, even work with them, right? Do business with them. It takes a high level of emotional intelligence to do things like that. And I think, like, once we can get to the point where we are in full control of self, we're in full control of our emotions, you'd be surprised how much more we're able to advance in life, right? Like, I want you to think of an individual who was successful in business, right? It could have been a celebrity, could have been someone in your country, in your city, someone locally that you know. But someone, even though they were successful, like, they never seemed to have control of themselves. Like, they were always loud, they were always boisterous, they were always just kind of saying things the way that they felt or wanted to say, right? And again, they were successful, super successful, but, you know, because of those type of reactions or because of that type of character that they had, there's a ceiling that they hit, right? So at some point, right, and it may be a year, maybe a month, maybe a week, maybe 10 years, but at some point, you know, there's a ceiling that they hit and they start to you know, take that dive from a career standpoint. Because, you know, always being the loudest person in the room, always being the obnoxious person, always saying things, the first thing that comes to your mind, like, at some point it's going to rub the wrong person, or even the right person, the wrong way, right? And it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you professionally. It's going to affect your personal life. It could affect your family. And I'm sure, like, you could identify and think about, like, individuals who fit into or fall into that category. And, like, you could definitely see, man, this person was a success or used to be successful. And then because of their characteristics or their lack of emotional intelligence, they lost everything, or they lost a lot, right? Maybe not everything, but there was some disadvantage that they experienced due to them having a lack of emotional intelligence. And I just wanted to speak to us ensuring that we're always working towards being better today than we were yesterday when it comes to our emotional intelligence. I think having control of ourselves, having control of our reactions, responses, and understanding what triggers us, and being able to respond positively and effectively in those situations can always and will always help us in advancing and being successful in everything that we do. So whenever you're in a situation where you feel like your emotions are getting the best of you, just take a step back, give yourself some time, think about it, and try to effectively communicate and express the things that you want to express in those situations. And I promise you at the end of the day, it's going to be better for everyone. Because I'm sure all of us can think about times where we responded off emotions, and those, more times than not, those are the responses or the situations that we regret the most, right? Because it either had you feeling horrible, or had someone else feeling horrible, or a group of persons feeling horrible. And that's never good, right? We always want to try to encourage an impact and influence persons in a positive way, the best way we can. All right. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, the importance of emotional intelligence, why it is so pivotal in our development as individuals. And just hopefully this is kind of intrigued you to want to better yourselves in that area. You know, it's funny because, you know, I always say that everything that we experience, or everything that we go through in life, like it's all in the good book, right? I wholeheartedly believe that, and I live by that, right? And when we're talking about being emotionally intelligent, like this is something that we have been mandated to do by our creator, right? And I just want to go through a passage, right? So if we go to James chapter 1, verse 19, right? And that verse says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen," right? We go back to being an active listener. "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." That's James 1, 19 to 20. I'll read it again. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So, you know, we have it. We've been instructed that we should always have a control of our emotions, right? We should listen far more than we speak, or than we react. So having a control of our emotions, or having a heightened emotional intelligence, level of emotional intelligence, I think is important for us as not only individuals in the workspace, but just as individuals in life, right? This is how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be emotionally intelligent individuals. And I think as we strive to become closer and closer to a perfect level of emotional intelligence, I think the better we'll be as individuals, all right? So that brings us to the portion of the pod where I want to leave you a milestone. And the milestone today is very simple, right? It's never let your emotions overpower your intelligence. Never let your emotions overpower your intelligence. Always be in control. Don't be irrational. Don't be over emotional. And that's not saying not to be emotional, not to feel or express emotion, but be in control of that feeling, be in control of that expression, all right? So never let your emotions overpower your intelligence. Be smart about the decisions that you make. Be smart about the reactions that you have to anything that happens to you in life, because I promise you that that will be the decision that you make that is more logical and rational would be far greater than decisions that you make that are emotional, all right? So that brings us to the end of this pod. I hope this was insightful to you. I hope you learned something. I hope we all strive to get a little bit closer each day to being emotionally intelligent individuals. All right. As always, the vision and goal of this pod is to entertain, educate, and elevate you miles high above your fears, your doubts, and any limitations that you may think exist, always knowing that those limitations only exist in your mind. So until next time, you guys stay blessed.